Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Real Estate Pros, the podcast for real estate business owners, salespeople, and property managers, where you'll get marketing ideas, inspiring interviews, actionable tips and strategies to help grow your business. I'm Josh Cobb. Let's face it, the real estate industry is a rather transient one. Staff come and go, people change positions, and sometimes they leave the industry altogether. And unfortunately, in some cases, it's due to a lack of leadership. In this episode, I'm joined by Brendan Whipps, the CEO of Harcourts Queensland, who takes us on a journey through his career in real estate and why aligning the values of your people with the vision of their leader is the fundamental difference between good and outstanding businesses. Listen in for an honest account of what leadership is all about, the vision that Brendan is delivering on at Harcourts Queensland, and why a business where everyone understands and lives by its values, including their leader, is the key to long-term success. This episode is brought to you by Steps, advanced real estate websites and digital marketing solutions. Learn more at steps.com.au. All right, so Brendan, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Morning, Josh. Thanks for having me.
No, it's nice to see you. For those folks who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your background in real estate.
Yeah, wow.
And what a typical day looks like for you these days as the CEO of Harcourts Queensland.
Okay, a little bit on the background. I started in real estate in 1992, so a long time ago. A little town called Lismore, south of the border of Queensland, and had a partnership with my father there in an independent agency for about 5 years. And we'll progress pretty quickly from there. 5 years, Ray White Paddington, under the leadership of George Hatchelis. He's still there. I was sales manager for George for about 2.5 years. Had a midlife crisis at 28 and bought a four-wheel drive and a camper trailer and drove around Australia and had a planned two-year hiatus. I thought that I'd get my Saturdays back that I'd worked so hard at for the last 10 years, but that didn't actually work out. I actually only had 6 months off and was invited into the Ray White corporate team under Peter Kempfen's leadership, and Ray White Queensland that was for 5 years, and that was a magnificent 5 years, great learning through there, and then on to Ray White, State Manager of New South Wales, where, in fact, a nice little birth of my twin, beautiful twin six-year-old daughters. Yeah. They were born 6 years ago, almost seven now. Yeah. And we actually came back to Queensland because of family reasons to get the support network that we had back in Queensland. Mm. Joined Elders at that time and a short stint as business development manager and national franchise manager thereafter and head of real estate. So I was with Elders for a total of 4 years. And that was an interesting experience with a publicly listed company. And that was from 2009 through to 2013. Mm. And we all know that that was the challenging GFC times. And to give you an idea, Elders was actually $1.4 billion in debt. No secret back then, it was a publicly listed company. And the whole objective was to get that $1.4 billion down to zero. So it was certainly working within that scope of that debt and trying to grow a franchise and a company network of real estate had its challenges, and it was a great learning environment for me there. Again, a midlife crisis a little bit later on. Had a couple of midlife crises. This time I had a family with me. We bought a caravan and a four-wheel drive, and we actually travelled around Australia for about 18 months. Mm. And 6 months ago, I started here at Harcourts Queensland as the CEO.
Well, something people might not know about you is that you can, in all of that, I think you've got quite a, knowing you for a little while, you've got a pretty fascinating story and background in the industry. But something people might not know about you is that you completed your MBA through all of that, through the Senior Executive MBA program at Melbourne Business School. What were those couple of years like for you both personally and professionally? And for those of us who haven't done our MBA or yet, what benefits do you think you took away from that helped you with your career in real estate?
So the MBA, the format first and foremost for the listeners, it was actually four lots of one-month modules living away from home. I was in Adelaide at that point with my family, and it was through Melbourne Business School. So four lots of 1 month over a 14-month period that we actually had to live on campus. And those 4 weeks, you live with your 35 other colleagues or alumni now. And it was just an intense time where you squeezed a 12-month, full-time 12-month program into 4 months. And the third module was actually in China, Europe and USA.
Wow.
So from a personal perspective, look, I'd moved three different states and my girls were actually under two. So my wife, Michelle, incredibly supportive, but that's pretty immensely challenging. And back then, having a national role, I was also taking about 100 flights a year. So from the personal perspective, had good family support coming in. It was hard being away from the family for that period of time under that intense learning environment, but the MBA itself was just magnificent. What attracted me to it was not only the first-class lecturers and the content and the learning, but it was actually the 34 other classmates that you were actually living with and learning through their experiences outside of real estate. So it was really good to capture all of their learning. And look, we had to have a minimum of 10 years management experience to actually come into the course.
Really?
And okay. I've got some of the best lifelong friends out of that because you're living with them for 4 months, right, over a very intense period. And funnily enough, many of your listeners will actually know that Chris Rolls was in the course as well.
For those playing at home, it's Chris Rolls from Rental Express.
Yeah, so yep. I'd known Rollsy for a long time beforehand, and we just, I remember the day that I got the phone call from Chris saying, mate, you're doing this MBA thing that I'm doing, because we actually got the list the same day about who's actually attending. So it was a great experience from a personal perspective. You then reflect on what it does for business and what it's done for my thinking. And I might quote Malcolm Jackman, the then CEO of Elders Limited.
Yes.
And I remember after finishing the course and Malcolm called me for a coffee, and you didn't get too much airtime with Malcolm, and he locked away an hour, and thinking, geez, the course was $120,000. It was 4 months out of the business. Malcolm's going to be really chasing, well, where's this investment going? What am I going to get from this investment? What have you learnt? I was really prepared quite well. I had sort of pertinent points down what I'm going to implement into the business.
Yeah.
And I was ready, and he didn't ask. And I said, oh, aren't you interested about what I'm going to apply? And he actually said to me, you'll never know what you've actually learned until you need to actually utilise it in business. And that was the beauty of the MBA. Mm. So what it's done for me is really in any application into the future, it actually deepens your thinking about a situation and you actually learn from applying different principles that you weren't aware of beforehand.
Mm. Is there anything in particular that stands out as a lesson that you picked up along that journey that you would say would be a single most... Look at something that you've applied in business that you've gone, okay, you can connect it back to
now your learnings. Now you're being like Malcolm Jackman that I thought you would be. Look, the self-awareness and knowing your limitations and knowing where your strengths and your capabilities are as a leader, and most importantly, actually knowing what you like and your emotional intelligence, how you actually apply yourself as a leader in the industry. Knowing that people think differently. So the emotional intelligence piece was a real, I had a good awareness, but I really learned a lot about myself and about how to manage other people. So if you wanted to pinpoint something that was extremely valuable out of it, it would be that.
No, it's fascinating. I think there's a few people of late that I've spoken to have considered doing their MBA, not so much at a corporate level, but even down at the sort of real estate salesperson level.
Absolutely.
Looking at understanding the business of real estate to a much bigger degree. So I think it's quite fascinating that you've done it in 4 months as opposed to challenges.
So. And look, as intense as that was actually the most convenient way of actually applying it I take my hat off to the people that do it over 3 years part-time.
Mm.
That requires immense discipline, whereas the four lots of 1 month over 14 months, all it required was actually signing up and doing it because you had no other option to do so.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, a lot of our listeners... look, they either run or work an independent real estate business, and you spent most of your career in franchise group at a franchise level. In your own words, what are what are just a couple of the major benefits of operating under a franchise over independent or vice versa these days, do you think?
Look, there's benefits in both. There's no question about that. And there's 50% of the marketplace is independents and 50% is franchise. There'll always be independents that will convert to franchise because they see the benefit, and the other way as well. There'll be franchisees that will actually want their own autonomy and run their business that they the way that they would like to, and they've matured and don't rely upon the franchisor as much. Mm. I think the main benefit is the feeling of belonging and the purpose of being part of something a little bit bigger than what it would be as an individual office. And look, there's a lot of smaller independent groups that are actually now getting multi-offices, and they're actually getting some benefits from having the scope and scale of a larger organisation and the learning that's available from that. Mm. But if I take you as to why I joined Harcourts 6 months ago or 7 months ago, I sat in front of Mike Green. He's the managing director of Harcourts International. And Mike, obviously in all of the questions, it was, Mike, what's your vision? Where do you want to take this company? And he got me hooked when he said global domination. It's like, okay, well, and I was kind of sort of challenged it and going, well, it's a bit Dr. Evil, global domination. What does that really mean to you, Mike? And he proceeded to say it's 100 countries in 20 years, and it pricked my interest significantly. I said, oh, yeah, I'm a bit cheeky in my interview, and said, oh, how are you going with that? And he actually demonstrated how he's going, and he's actually executing his vision. And we've just opened up in UAE just this week, and we're actually opening up in Canada. So that will take us, and that's in February next year, and that will take us to 10 countries. Wow. Now, 100 countries, 20 years, we've got a long way to go. But the simple vision that Mike has is what attracted me to that. And you go, well, what's the benefits of being in a franchise? Or it's being part of that vision. So then I look at my role and go, well, what's my role for Queensland? And it's quite simple. It resonates with Mike's vision, and that's Queensland domination. Mm. And that is to be the number one agency in Queensland. And putting that vision out there, it's pretty scary, right? Right now we're number four, and we're on our way. We're heading towards number one. It's going to be a long journey. Take my hat off to the leaders ahead of us. They've done a great job, and we're on the job to be having Queensland domination.
Well, just as we were just before we caught up today, I was sitting in the foyer of your head office here in Brisbane and noticed your magazine, is it Inside?
Yes.
And it's something I haven't seen that often. I've seen the occasional magazine at a franchise level where it'll be all about the franchise itself, talking to the consumer. But this magazine, this Inside magazine, I've never seen it before. It's completely dedicated to internal. It's all about the staff, and it's essentially a magazine for everyone internally, correct?
Mm, absolutely. So Inside Magazine is a quarterly publication. It's about everything that's going on in and around the group. And when I talked before about the feeling of belonging, it's no point being part of a group and actually not being involved and not knowing what's going on. So that's just one of our many forms of communication about celebrating some of the successes. And we certainly, what I probably should have touched on is our sole purpose is to create success. Mm. So everybody that has an interaction with Harcourts, our purpose is to create success. You're more successful for the interaction with Brenda Whipps today. I hope you will be. and hopefully everybody that's listening will be more successful as a result of something that we talk about today on your podcast. Sure. And behind that creating the success is our values of people first, doing the right thing, being courageous, and fun and laughter. And Inside is just one vehicle to actually carry that message out to our people within the group.
Yeah, no, it's a great magazine. My hat off to the marketing department and the content department for putting that together.
Oh, they'll love that. They work very hard on it every quarter.
Look, knowing what it takes to put even a podcast together, I can't even imagine what a print magazine is like to put together. And it's fantastic. So hat off to those guys. Well, something I'd love to do is turn the spotlight on to you, to moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that grand level of actual moments in time where you felt like you've either failed or succeeded. So with that in mind, tell us a story, take us there with you, of a moment in your career where you felt like you failed.
Such a tough question. And obviously we have time to prepare for this, Josh. I don't want to pretend that I haven't thought about it. And I was talking to my wife on the front deck last night going, can you give me an indication of when you think we've failed or we've struggled and I've felt like giving up? And I don't give up easily. We put some pretty lofty goals out there and we have a good hard crack at it. And I guess the only struggle that I've really had is when I haven't been personally aligned to a vision of a leader that I've been working for and their strategy or their values. That's really, and I think an important message for our listeners that are leaders out there is that to ensure that they actually do have their team on board with them, they know what they need to do and they know where you're going and they're actually aligned with that. But behind it all is really the values of that leader and ensuring that that actually aligns with the values of the people and getting your team right. So have I felt like giving up? No. Have I felt like giving up on the leadership that I was aligned to? Potentially, yes.
Yep. So is there a moment, you don't have to mention any names, of course, but was there a moment in time where you felt, look, maybe real estate, maybe it's time to venture outside of real estate and have a think about a new industry or something like that.
So I had 18 months to think about that when I was in a caravan. it's interesting. The whole journey of the MBA was to go, okay, is there something more outside of real estate and franchising for Brendan Whipps? Mm. And 18 months of reflection is an awful long time. Mind you, I didn't think about it the whole time. There was a whole lot of surfing and cycling and enjoying my children that I hadn't seen so much in the previous 3.5 years. So, certainly thought about outside industry. I had a look at a number of other opportunities in general management positions, but I've got such technical expertise and knowledge and I've got so much behind me in real estate that it seems a waste to not utilize that. And the time that it clicked was when I was sitting down with Mike that I really have the passion for the industry and for franchising. And he got me, unfortunately.
Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula that you had in place was the right way to go about, I guess, running a real estate business. And is there a particular, whether it's in the Harcourts franchise of a company that you're working with or talking to, or a business owner that you're talking to or working with, where things just clicked, the light bulb went off for yourself and this particular business owner or whoever else, and you felt like, okay, we've really got something going here. And is there a particular story that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah, sure. It's 6 months in Harcourts. It's way too young to claim any successes. But I might talk about Elders and the journey there. In 2009, the global financial crisis, the value proposition of the franchise was being challenged, and as it should from any decent franchisees. And I took on the national franchise manager's role and had a team of 13, and it was a disparate team. It was pushed all over the country. The operational side was in one location, the marketing side in another, and I took the personal decision to actually move from Queensland, not forgetting that I'd moved back from New South Wales and moved the family back to Queensland to settle the family down, and took the personal decision to actually take this role. And I had to move to Adelaide because that's where the Elders head office was. We rebuilt that team very quickly. It was a frightening moment for me because there was a number of really good people in the team, but it needed to come together to really be as effective as possible and be located in Adelaide. So for me, that was a moment where there were a lot of changes. There were a lot of eyes on me personally from a leadership perspective, many franchisees going, okay, what's really going on here? Can we make a significant change? And we turned that around very quickly. And it was in a marketplace that was shrinking rapidly because of the GFC. It was some $250 billion, and I think it went down to about $160 billion over the 2 or 3 years that I was in that role. Yep. So there were some real challenging moments for business owners. Yep. Their cash flow had obviously tightened up an awful lot, and a lot of change going on internally as well as externally with their franchise all. But we grew the business in the late teens, the 18%, 19% and 15% each year on year. Mm. And that was in revenue and also the profit to the bottom line. But the value offering also changed significantly as well. And the culture that came with that was quite incredible. So that was a journey, not a moment in time. It was a 3-year moment in time. But the moment for me was the oh shit moment of pulling a good team, putting it back together and actually building out some incredible operational efficiencies and real value offering. So that's probably the moment in time that I think that was a real success for me personally.
Wow. Well, look, something that we've spoken about offline before is and you mentioned it before, your love for surfing and cycling and all the good stuff. Tell me how important that is to you as, you know, considering, I guess, at the level that you work and, sure. You know, to the degree of I guess, where you're stretched to now being CEO of Hardcourts Queensland. How important is that to you to still fit that in and
Absolutely. And look, there's in any new role of the scope that I have to play in, you're obviously going to get tied up in a lot of things that take a lot more time than what it would normally as business as usual. Mm. The first 6 months in Harcourts Queensland has been incredible. It's been a whirlwind. I still don't know 50% of the company of what I should know. There's a lot of learning to go on and that takes pure time. So I try to cycle 2 times a week, and that's on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and I try to sneak a surf in at least once a week if the surf's okay. And look, for the listeners, I live in Brisbane.
Yep.
The closest surf is either the Gold Coast or the Sunshine Coast. That's an hour away. I'll get up at 3:30 to be in the surf at 4:30 to have 2 or 3 hours in there and get out, and that makes a massive difference to my day. Mm. Am I sticking to that? it's fallen down a little bit, but I have committed to a ride from Adelaide to Uluru, and you don't know this yet.
Yeah, you don't know this yet, Josh.
And now I've committed to everybody out there, so I actually have to.
Have to go through with it.
So it's Smiling for Smitty. It's a great cause. It's about
ride.
It's Adelaide to Uluru, June 5th next year. It's 1,800 kilometres. I've never ridden over 100 kilometres in a day. It's 200 k's a day. It's over a 9-day period. And look, fitness is absolutely extraordinarily important for a good, clean mind. That was pushed way through the MBA, funnily enough. And that's, I try to make sure that I'm on top of everything in terms of my personal life and the business life. Am I seeing my family as much as I should? It's a little bit better than what I was in a national role. So
sure. Yeah, no, completely agree. It's something that I'm going to rely on you to kick my butt when it comes to this stuff. We did talk about in December last year about
we've been trying to do it, have a ride together. Just 70 k's, right?
Yeah, true. But and we spoke about doing this ride from Brisbane to Sydney last year, but unfortunately, I think there was a lot of
changes in our life.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think you can't underestimate the power of that sort of stuff when it comes to sort of thinking clearly. So, I think that's a great lesson.
Good.
But, take us to today. What are you working on here at Harcourts that's getting you excited?
I can tell you about it. I'm very transparent in my language and what we're doing, what the strategy is. Queensland domination is clearly the agenda, and look, that comes down to right now we've got 350 salespeople in Queensland, and we need to get to 2,000. It's a massive number, and it's quite frightening sometimes when you put yourself out there. But everybody within the Harcourts group in Queensland is fully aware of my vision of where we need to take the company, and we're going to do it with the whole lot of respect with regards to our business owners. Now, they've all got a responsibility to help grow to achieve Queensland domination. Many of them are on board and love that vision, and they know how many people that they need in their business to bring that to fruition. We also need to work on our footprint. We've got 50-odd businesses that are in Queensland that are pure Harcourts, and 26 other locations. We actually look after many other brands, Landmark Harcourts and NAI Harcourts, so they fulfil those other 26 locations. But in essence, I've got 100 locations that I don't have Harcourts businesses that I should. And we're working very aggressively on making sure that we're actually talking to people in those locations, letting them know our strategy, our growth plan, and that's what we're fundamentally working on. The luxury of coming down to a state-based role is that I'm not responsible for a national or international strategy and a lot of support material that goes in behind that. So I've got these wonderful heads of department that develop all of this great work, and we piggyback off on it. I've got a pretty laser focused on Queensland and what we need to do, knowing that I've got really good people behind everything that actually supports the value proposition of Harcourts as a whole.
Now, I had the pleasure of meeting some of your team earlier this week, which was a little bit of fun, listening to them pitch, which was great. So, but no, look, I think it's quite, and congratulations as well. You know,
thanks, Josh. I'm very proud of our team.
Yeah, on the short term that you've been here and the impact that you've made, I think is fantastic. Yeah, well, I'd love to shift gears, and I think we're going to jump into our fast five segment, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I don't know. I really don't know. This is a toughie. Quick answers. Here we go.
All right. Well, name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Impossible. Absolutely impossible, Josh Cobb. Each step of my career, I've been inspired. And to say that it's been one person throughout my career is just unfair on all of the people that I've gained inspiration from. Let me start. George Hadjilis and Phil Parker. George Hadjilis, business owner of Ray White Paddington. Phil Parker was the chief auctioneer of Ray White Queensland. Outstanding leaders, just incredible inspiration, work ethic, teachers, just changed my, it was the pivotal moment in my career in real estate. So those two for the late 90s, early 2000s. Then you talk about Peter Campen as a leader of Ray White Queensland, CEO, long-term tenure in there. He's now heading up, living here in the loan market for Queensland, and just an outstanding leader. Had a great time 5 years under his leadership, and quite often talk to Pete on business items that we discuss. So it's great to catch up with him all the time. And then I take you to Elders. It was Malcolm Jackman, the CEO of Elders. Just extraordinary. His leadership, his tenacity. $1.4 billion in debt company where it was basically making no money, had to sell down assets through the global financial crisis, and was just an amazing leader. But within that, I was reporting to a fellow by the name of Sean Hughes. Now, he's not a real estate guy. He's actually now director of finance at Telstra, and just an incredibly intelligent, strategic, amazing guy as well. And now, of course, Mike Green. So Mike Green is the managing director of Harcourt. So I know this is supposed to be a quick answer, but it was unfair if I didn't actually mention all of those people throughout my career.
Sure. Now, look, it's not the Logies. We're not going to try to get you off, so it's all good. What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office? I think I know the answer to this.
Yeah, surf and family. So love a surf. That's my place where I don't have a mobile phone. It's outstanding. You can't talk to anybody. You're just talking to the guys that are out there, and it is my place for complete relaxation. I don't tend to think about work out there, and that's the amazing place for me.
Have you got a favourite surf spot that you can tell people about, or have you,
look,
you keep
but,
that
secret? Yeah, no. Byron Bay's a favourite. It's obviously further away from Brisbane, so I don't get down there enough, although the last time I actually surfed at Byron at Tallows, there were three great whites out there, so it wasn't a good experience. I was wondering why the surf was so good, but there were so few guys out there. So.
Yeah. Well, look, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Yeah, I've read an awful lot, and obviously through the MBA, I was opened up to a lot of books, but I do go back to Good to Great from Jim Collins, and I think plenty of your guests have probably mentioned Good to Great.
Definitely.
It's just a good foundation for a good basic business discussion, and I love the hedgehog concept. The three questions: what are you deeply passionate about, what can you be the best at in the world, and what drives your economic engine? You put those three together, you're on a winning formula for your business.
I love that. What is your favourite technology resource or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Love it and hate it. It's my iPhone.
Yep.
Yeah, just quick access to everything that you need, and look, it's we're too accessible. I'm trying to manage my time a whole lot better and actually switch it off for a little bit every day so I actually get to some strategic thinking, but it's just outstanding to be in touch with everybody whenever you need to be.
Well, Brendan Whipps, it's often said the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be? And what would your advice be to overcome it?
So I'm going to talk at business owner level. I'm going to talk about leadership and the getting the right relationships in place to get the job done. But you've got to know what the job is, right? You've got to take your people on that journey and make sure that they're connected to that journey. So it's leadership, it's emotional intelligence, self-awareness, and if you can attract the best people into your business and retain those people and they're inspired by you, that will fix your business.
Well, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and it's how
gonna,
do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
This is going to be a complete downer.
I don't have a favourite success quote. There's always situations where a different success quote will actually work. And look, let me quote Peter Canfin. He used to use this all the time. Don't let your pride get in the way of a good business decision. And quite often our egos or our pride do get in the way of actually making a sound and thorough business decision. But it's a great quote, but you can't have a favourite one and then have to apply it in all situations. So I have many quotes.
I think it's common sense is the winner at the end of the day. That's it. Judging by the book that you've got sitting here on the table with us this morning, common sense, I think, is the ruler at the end of the day.
So I do have a book for the listeners I'm reading at the moment, Uncommon Sense, Common Nonsense by Jules Goddard and Tony Eccles, and it's just an outstanding read, nice little chapters, and look, from a corporate perspective, it's great about living on the edge of chaos and realising or working out what the important things are, the critical things are for strategy, and we have busy, busy lives and there's many stakeholders that want many, many things, but we need to sift through and actually work out what we're going to use to cut through to get to that vision or that strategy that you're trying to implement.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Brendan Whipps has shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcast. Well, Brendan, on behalf of our listeners, thank you for sharing your story with us today. I know people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Harcourts?
Sure. So it's brendan.whipps@harcourts.net or mobile 0400 605 757.
Mr. Whipps, thanks for having me at Harcourts HQ.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for listening to Real Estate Pros. If you like this episode, please subscribe and you'll be notified of new episodes. I'm Josh Cobb. Now go out and grow your business.